This year, wouldn't you like to stop feeling self-conscious about your receding hairline or thinning hair and to start feeling confident with the way you look? Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow from New Nordic as an effective way to get thicker-looking hair. Hair Grow is backed by an exclusive U.S. patent and is clinically proven to promote more hair growth. One actual Hair Grow customer writes, "After trying Hair Grow for a month and a half, my hair began to grow and thicken with no breakage when combing or shampooing. My hair is beginning to look great." Another writes, "A friend of mine noticed lots of increased hair growth. I couldn't be happier with the results and highly recommend this product for anyone with thin hair. Start looking and feeling your best with Hair Grow. Ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens or shop online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com. That's new, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens. New year, new you, new Nordic."
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former President Donald Trump stopped outside of a polling place in Londonderry, New Hampshire today, the state's first in the nation primary underway.
Yeah, I'm very confident. I mean, we just stopped here. We stopped at a polling site. We picked it at random. We may stop at one more. And nobody knew we were coming. This is pretty amazing.
Nikki Haley, the only remaining opponent for the Republican nomination, is trailing Trump in the polls by double digits. Meanwhile, in his first interview since throwing in the towel, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he does not regret suspending his campaign and indicated he's open to running for president again in 4 years. Senators say they're getting closer, but still no deal on a U.S.-Mexico border deal that would unlock a broader national security package on aid to Ukraine and Israel. Award-winning broadcast journalist Charles Osgood died today at his home in New Jersey. Cause of death was dementia. His family said he was 91. This is ABC News. Another scare for pop star Taylor Swift.
The NYPD arresting a man after he was found behaving erratically and loitering Monday near singer Taylor Swift's New York City home in the Tribeca neighborhood. Witnesses, including Swift security, flagging down police, pointing out an emotionally disturbed man harassing passersby. He's identified as 33-year-old David Crow of Seattle, and his arrest followed another incident Saturday where he was seen trying to open a door to Swift's townhouse and placed under arrest. Authorities say there have been multiple incidents at the residence in recent years, including several other break-ins and attempts while Swift was not home, some of the incidents including alleged stalkers. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
New consumer alert about Venmo, Zelle, and Cash App. The Manhattan DA says the payment apps are leaving customers vulnerable to fraud and in some cases draining bank accounts. The DA has sent letters to the companies that own those apps calling for them to adopt security measures like limits on transactions and better monitoring of unusual activity. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Jackson Hewitt has a plan to get your tax refund fast. With a buck, buck here, buck, buck there. Here, buck, there, buck, everywhere, buck, buck.
You don't have to wait weeks for your tax refund. Get money sooner with a no-fee refund advance loan at Jackson Hewitt.
On this loan, there's a money today guarantee. E-I-E-I-DO.
Don't settle for chicken feed. Get fast bucks at Jackson Hewitt today. No-fee refund advance loans by Republic Bank offered to eligible clients. Money today guarantee if approved for a loan on a prepaid card. Details at JacksonHewitt.com.
Always night pads are designed for a perfect night's sleep. So you can do your bear hugging a pillow thing, your free falling starfish thing, your burritoed in a blanket with the AC blasting thing. While Always night pads with rapid dry do there, we've got your back with fast absorbency and up to 10 hours of protection thing. So while your period's doing its own thing, Always lets you do your sleep thing. Shop for Always in store or online, wherever you get your pads.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Allen. Governor Tony Evers delivers the annual State of the State address tonight.
The Democratic governor can be expected to address a variety of issues where he opposes Republicans who control both chambers of the Wisconsin legislature. The address is scheduled for 7 o'clock in the Assembly Chambers at the Capitol in Madison. The speech will be live streamed on Governor Evers' YouTube channel and Facebook page. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux is scheduled to deliver the Republican response to Evers' address. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Vice President Kamala Harris was in Waukesha County Monday for the 51st anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade abortion ruling. Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez noted the Harris stop came as Republicans in the legislature act on the issue of abortion.
They are proposing another abortion ban here in Wisconsin. They aren't listening to us. They aren't listening to what Wisconsinites want.
Harris said abortion access is at risk around the nation.
Today in America, 1 in 3 women of reproductive age live in a state with an abortion ban.
Also Monday, the Biden administration announced efforts to expand contraception access through the Affordable Care Act. A former Eau Claire County deputy treasurer who helped steal more than $1 million of taxpayers' money is out of prison.
WEAU reports 72-year-old Kay Onerheim has been released after serving her 8-year prison sentence. Onerheim will be required to pay restitution while she serves her extended supervision. Onerheim and former Eau Claire County Treasurer Larry Loken were convicted in 2016 of stealing more than $625,000 in tax money. An investigation found that they actually stole $1.3 million from Eau Claire County taxpayers. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
The clouds stick around today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We'll have temperatures in the low 30s, east winds at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, patchy fog late, lows upper 20s. Tomorrow, cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, highs mid-30s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas girls basketball tonight. Durand, Arkansas at Elk Mound. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at our website.
Well, we finally saw green on most of the grain and livestock futures except for Minneapolis wheat, despite some bearishness in the outside markets. Grains still look like they're in recovery mode, but even if the lows are in, just how much can the market rally? And livestock are working on chart breakouts with the tailwind of higher product values and firm cash, but is this a fake out?
Live from Greener Pastures, well, Greener via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, filling in for Chip Lorre, welcome Michelle Rook.
Hey, thanks so much, Davis, and good afternoon. Welcome
good
to AgriTalk.
Good afternoon to you as well. How's everything?
It's good. It's good. I love it when I can look at the board and actually see green for a change.
Yes. Yeah. It's a rich tapestry of greens here, you know, and if I'm looking over at the crude oil market, we're down. Not a lot.
Yeah.
But lower in the crude
oils. We were up
today.
Big yesterday, and
that's
I
right.
talked to a lot of people about maybe a little bit of a chart break out there, but I don't know. We continue to kind of get up to the highs and then consolidate and fail.
Right.
So
Right. And it almost seemed like maybe the corn market did something very similar to that.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, made a sweet move there and then gave it all back.
I know. We gave it back. And I don't know if we ran up into chart resistance, but, you know, we've had this sideways pattern going for like the last 4 days now where we end like a half of a cent higher. But I guess it's a half cent higher, so we'll take it, right?
And if only, you know, you or I had friends, some sort of resources that we could rely on in times like these for answers, you know, someone we could just maybe have a conversation with. You know what I mean?
If only. Well, Dave Chatterton with Strategic Farm Marketing. We're going to ask him some of those questions here today.
I knew you would
have
somebody.
We will ask him.
I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Dave is going to talk about that. Matt Bennett is joining us as well from agmarket.net right after the news here with Davis Michelson, take it away, our handsome newsman.
Sure thing, Michelle. Winter wheat markets posted follow-through gains despite early dollar strength. Now, Australia is poised to produce much more wheat and other crops this year than previously thought. The European Commission is looking into ways of allowing Eastern EU member states to restrict ag imports from Ukraine as it extends trade liberalization with Kiev.
March HRW wheat futures today firmed 10.5 cents to 617.5. March SRW wheat unchanged. 596.5. March spring wheat declined 1.5 cents to 699, falling below that $7 level in the March spring wheat, Michelle. I don't know if that's significant or not, but I got to say, I don't like it.
No, I don't either. Seven looked a lot better, but it looks like some spread adjustments, because remember, HRW wheat's been on the short side of those spreads the last couple of days. And I don't know, Chicago looked like it might have ran up into some chart resistance.
Indeed. Well, corn futures made a decent run to the upside early on corrective buying, but the March contract was unable to hold above 450, settling for a positive but low-range close. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier left his Brazilian and Argentine corn production estimates unchanged, noting a lower near-term bias. In other news, Beijing, who has been cautious on the development and deployment of genetically modified crops, has reportedly successfully completed its pilot projects for commercializing GM seeds. March corn futures firmed 0.75 cents to 446.5. May corn added 0.5 cent to 456.75. July corn futures closed at 12.54 1/4. And that's up 1¼ cents on the day, Michelle.
Yeah, feels like we're really consolidating sideways.
Well, a solid soybean meal rally supported soybean futures in today's trade. As strength in crude oil futures turned into pressure, soybean oil took a backseat to the meal market, which added impressive gains on the day. Dr. Cordonier left his Brazilian and Argentine soybean crop forecasts unchanged, noting a neutral to higher bias moving forward. March soybeans firmed 15.25 cents. May beans gained 14 cents to 12.47. July closed at 12.54 1/4, up 13 today. I didn't write down my soybeans. Let's see, which one was that? My March beans. Oh, at 12.39 1/2. That's up 15.25 cents. Not a bad day for the soybeans.
No, we took out last week's highs, and so Dave and I are going to talk a little bit about whether we can build on this and kind of what's driving it. If it's just corrective action, this was the fourth day up, or if there's a little bit more to it fundamentally.
All right. Well, March cotton softened 23 points today to 84.60. On your livestocks, nearby live cattle are showing strength amid surging wholesale values, though traders anticipate delayed cash cattle trade again this week. February live cattle firmed 87.5 cents to 174.65. April futures up 92.5 cents to 177.82.5. And March feeder futures firmed $2.37.5 to 233.65. And Michelle, I think we're still maybe waiting to see the impacts of this ice that we've had early on this week, the frigid weather, basically just the winter weather getting in the way of some of these cattle being marketed yet. And I just wonder what the next few weeks hold as we look ahead to perhaps some warmer weather there. Any thoughts?
Yeah, well, chain speeds have been keeping up here, ramping back up here after the blip last week. But that's going to be something we'll keep an eye on there, both in the cattle and in the pork processing sectors for sure.
Well, and speaking of the hogs, improved cash and wholesale fundamentals supported a sharp rise in lean hog futures today. February hogs gained $2.37.5 to $73.30, and April hogs firmed $2.70 to close at $80.32.5. Over to you, Michelle.
Yeah, pretty nice looking day over in the livestock, that's for sure. And we bring back in, well, thank you, Davis. We bring back in with some price market perspective and action today. Matt Bennett with agmarket.net. How you doing, Matt?
Hi, Michelle. This is actually Joe. This isn't Matt. I don't see Matt. I could maybe do a Matt Bennett impersonation. But
I don't know how good you are at doing that.
It would fall through as soon as you start asking some technical questions.
Yeah. Well, Michelle.
Definitely.
Go ahead.
Well,
I was just going to say there's plenty to talk about
with
Dave Chatterton, Strategic Farm Marketing. Now, he's a new voice to me, and if I'm not mistaken, I think to AgriTalk in general, Michelle, you're bringing in a new voice to us.
You like new blood.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Lots to talk about with Dave. I reckon you've got some ideas.
Yeah, you bet. Dave comes to us out of central Illinois. And actually, I was going to have him and Garrett Toy on together from Ag Trader Talk for the show today, but Garrett's on next week. And those two, I think Dave actually was kind of the mentor for Garrett Toy. So he spoke very highly of him, and that's how I got to know Dave, so you're really going to enjoy his perspective. He does a lot of media around the country for radio stations, RFD TV, a lot of different places. So we're happy to bring him on here today. And he and I actually did AgD TV before we jumped on AgriTalk here today. So I kind of have a little clue of some of his thoughts for the day coming up here on. We're going to talk about the breakout that we saw today, both chart action on both cattle and hogs. Boy, both of those charts are looking good. So whether those are fundamental or whether that's actually the funds coming back here, especially in this cattle market. And then also in the grain trade today, we saw the fourth higher day in the soybeans. So we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, whether we can build on that going forward here. Do we have all the bearishness of this market and the WASD and the other January reports worked in? And are we ready to start looking ahead at South America? So lots of different things coming up.
Absolutely. Let's all stay tuned in, gang.
You bet. We'll be back with Dave Chatterton, Strategic Farm Marketing, next here on AgriTalk.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Meet up with the AgMarket.net team in Music City as the company will host its Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference February 4th and 5th. Aside from the AgMarket.net team, Dan Bozzi, Brian Burke, Randy Dowdy, Dave Hightower, Eric Snodgrass, Joe Vaklovic, and Mackenzie Johnson will all be there. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to register. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Hey, Wisconsin soybean farmers. Do you know how your soybean checkoff helps fuel Wisconsin? Soybeans play a critical role in helping our communities, our economy, our environment, our future, our farms, and our world. Stop by the Wisconsin Soybean Booth at this year's Corn Soybean Expo, February 1st and 2nd at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells to learn how your Wisconsin soybean farmers and soybean checkoff are working hard to increase your impact from the farm to the future.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Michelle, I don't know if that came through. I was fiddling around with an X-Acto knife when I should have been taking notes, and I stabbed myself in the finger. But I'll be okay, though.
I was just laughing when I listened to that music because I thought you and I trying to figure out who was going to talk first was like trying to dance together and step on each other's toes. No, you go. No, you go. No, you go.
A little Tuesday two-step for you, Michelle. Huh?
Yeah, it was. It was. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, we are really happy to have with us Dave Chatterton with Strategic Farm Marketing. He is out of Champaign, Illinois. And Dave, I've known you for a little over a year now. And like I said, came to you with a great reference from our friend Garrett Toy over at agtrader.talk. Just tell folks a little bit about yourself to our AgriTalk listeners.
Yeah, Michelle. Well, certainly good to be with you. Thanks for having me on, and you know, good to be with Joe and Davis as well. And I guess if you're dancing with Davis, does that leave me with Joe?
Because I'm afraid
I
might
guess
be
so.
Good,
but mm-hmm. Who's going to lead there is the question.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a tough one. But no, so back to your question. Sorry for that. But so you know, our operation is here in Central Illinois, and we Strategic Farm Marketing is primarily a crop marketing and crop insurance firm here based in Illinois. We've got about 30 people total in the organization. We write crop insurance in 12 states, do marketing from kind of coast to coast. And, you know, I've been in the business going back to 1990. And my first job out of college, worked for Bunge. As you mentioned, I went from there to FC Stone. That's where I met Garrett Toy. He actually was an intern in our office. We hired him from Iowa State. He came over, worked for us for a couple of years. We then transitioned out into a firm that I owned, and he was with that for a few years before moving back to Iowa and starting AgTraderTalk. So I've known him for a while, knew his kids as they grew up. We remain kind of close today. And of course, he's back in Illinois now. We're not so happy about that, but we'll talk about that another day. But anyway, yeah, so we've been at it a while here, and, you know, it's a beautiful kind of rainy, not ice stormy, 40-degree, dreary, muddy, wet day in Champaign.
Well, like I said, Garrett, you did a great job training him, but as I've talked to you over the last year, I can see why. He had such a great teacher all the way from market perspective down into what I would say the nuts and bolts of farm finances and crop insurance for farmers. But, you know, let's just talk about where we've come from here the last several weeks. You know, these grain markets, we got so, so bearish. It feels like the grain markets are trying to correct. Do you think we have all this bearish news worked into the markets right now?
Well, it feels like we're at least going to take a little bit of a rest stop. And I think the answer to that is certainly, you know, is maybe the way to frame that up, Michelle, is that the downside is becoming a little bit more limited in comparison to what could happen on the upside. And, you know, we don't have that particular spark right now to cause fund short covering or new length to come into the marketplace. And the fundamentals are not shifting dramatically, but we do have a pretty fluid market. We're starting to talk about conditions in South America again, and this time more so maybe a little bit about Argentina than the previous story in Brazil. We're looking at fund positions that are certainly stretched to the short side, and historically so. And it may mean that, you know, there's not a lot of room left on that bone or a lot of meat left on that bone. And I think when you look at what's going on outside of our markets and just in the world in general, and talk about geopolitics and talk about what's going on with the farm bill and all the things that are going on. I've got a spring crop insurance, you know, discovery price coming up here during the month of February. So certainly right. A lot of things, you know, moving into the pipeline here, and no shortage of things to talk about. Hopefully a few of those things are going to be less bearish and a little bit more about, you know, about what may happen in the future.
Well, January is always kind of a month where we have the winter doldrums. And so this isn't unusual necessarily, but the reports last two Fridays ago certainly didn't help us. That just pushed us even more bearish in terms of our sentiment in this market. But let's talk individually about soybeans up today for the fourth day. As you had told me, we took out the highs from last week. Meal was up here today, kind of leading the charge. Is this all still corrective action, or is there fundamentally more that's happening in the market?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. Certainly, we get overextended to the downside. I mean, the downtrend that we have been in here and really still, I guess, technically remain in from a chart standpoint started all the way back in the middle of November. And it's been a pretty steep or steady progressive fall from that, you know, above that $14 level all the way down to the $12 level, and basically a $2 plus move to the low that we had last week. When we look at kind of, you know, what's happened in terms of, you know, the selling that's went into that and how, you know, short these funds are, certainly funds are not at a record short in soybeans. They're closer in corn than they are in beans. But, you know, when you look at the overall position of the funds, whether it's just the grain complex or adding in the meats and the proteins as well, certainly they're stretching the bounds of that historical limit. And I think now, you know, we've got the January USDA report out of the way. We kind of survived that, I guess, or we didn't thrive, but we did survive. And now we're looking ahead at what's going on. And I think we're starting to focus a little bit more on what's happening with freight rates and a little bit more what's happening with China and a little bit more about South America. And in South America, the story actually stays pretty interesting. We're starting to see a number of private analysts dip their Brazilian soy production number below that 150 mark and as low as 135, actually. Mm-hmm. And that starts to make a big difference on what their exports can look like through the tail end of the season and what it may look like. In addition to that, Argentina, which is, you know, everyone has been counting on for record crop production and a huge bounce back, almost doubling their production from last year in terms of a severe drought. Now going into a little bit of a dry stretch. They've been dry here for a week to 10 days, and the next 10 days looks to be not only dry, but a little bit warm, a little bit reminiscent of kind of what got started there last year. Now, if the rains come in February and they are in that 11 to 16 day forecast, hey, that's a situation that we just don't have much fundamental shift in. But if all of a sudden, you know, that crop in Argentina that the market's been counting on, when you take a reduced, you know, Brazilian crop, you know, due to the weather issues, but add in the gains in Argentina and throw in Uruguay and Paraguay, you've got a situation where you had a record supply of not only soybeans, but also projecting a record supply of corn in South America. It's now starting to be questioned again here just a little bit. And it's more smoke than fire right now. I don't want to tell you that the market's ready to turn, but I think it gets the attention of these specs when we see, you know, how far we've fallen and kind of just where we stand in the overall picture.
Right. But when you add Argentina and Brazil together, you're still right now at a record crop and above from last year. So where do we have to go, or where do you think the market will fall here before we start seeing some really rally potential come into this soybean market?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think, the worst numbers are out there for Brazil at this point. That 135, I just don't see how we go below that. Our current number is probably closer to 147, 148, maybe as low as 145. I think at that point, Michelle, something's mildly below 150 doesn't really change the calculus. Even if I put in a 148 crop for Brazil, keep Argentina at 52, which is kind of where, where Cordonera was here today. We're in a situation where you have 200 million metric tons of overall soybean production between Brazil and Argentina. That compares to last year at 185 million metric tons, essentially, what was a record production level. So it's going to take something bigger in terms of Argentina. Now, Argentina's production last year was 25 million metric tons,
Yeah. And
it was 44 the year before. So they took an awful big fall, but the market has them plugged in. The USDA is at 50. Some of the analyst community are at this, 52, 53 area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seeing them drop below that 40, that 50 area and into that 48 area is all of a sudden going to start to change. And keep in mind that the world's, in any given year, that they're the world's biggest processor and exporter of beans products, so the meal and the oil. And I think that was partially reflected in what happened with meal today, and that's starting to get the attention of the marketplace here.
Okay, but you don't just need a confirmation of a smaller South American crop. Don't you also have to get China or somebody in buying to also push that soybean market at the same time?
Yeah, and I mean, China really is the key here to what's happening. I mean, we just got the overall market share percentages for China for last year for 2023, and the U.S. shares, below 30%,
right.
24%,
24.
Not looking very spiffy. In Brazil, it's 70, or 72%. So what you need when you look at those soybean exports, if you break down the domain components of the soybean complex, basically you've got crush and exports that make up 94-95% of your overall demand here in the U.S. We know crush is running at a record level. We know that crush margins have collapsed just a little bit here. They've made a bounce back. They've stabilized here. We don't expect that situation to change very much, but asking crush to perform at an even higher level and start reducing that balance sheet and starting that rally is going to be a pretty tough ask. So it comes down to exports. And when you look at exports, and you look at our traditional partners and kind of what they've taken, and they relatively speaking, they've overperformed to a degree. What we have found, is that, in asking those countries to, buy even more than they already have is going to be a tough ask. So it comes down to the big hole left by China and the big deficit year over year that they sit in terms of how many beans they haven't bought from the U.S. And so, we thought there would be an opportunity there with a late Brazilian harvest and some light and quality issues and logistical issues in Brazil with that early crop in the north. They've chosen instead of coming to the U.S., they've chosen to pull down their own reserves and wait for that new crop Brazilian supply to become available. So,
yeah, we become a second source supplier to China, unfortunately, and that's a bad place to be in right now. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more with Dave when we come back about what about Brazil's second crop corn. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page of ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where March hard red winter wheat futures firmed 10.5 cents to 6.17.5. March SRW wheat unchanged 5.96.5. March corn futures firmed 0.75 cents to 4.46.5. May corn added 0.5 cents to 4.56.75. March soybean futures firmed 15.25 cents to close at 12.39.25. May beans up 14, 12.47. March cotton softened 23 points to 84.60. On your livestock, February fat cattle firmed 87.5 cents to 174.65. March feeder futures firmed 237.5 to 233.65. February lean hogs gained 237.5 to 73.30, and the April contract up 270, 80.32.5. Try ProFarmer.com.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and mild today as high temperatures climb to the mid-30s. With that kind of warmth, it's bringing fog. Overnight, freezing fog is possible as temperatures drop to the upper 20s. By tomorrow afternoon, a chance of freezing rain, which will flip to regular rain, rapidly melting our snow. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 32.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook and for Chip Flory. We're continuing our conversation with Dave Chatterton with Strategic Farm Marketing. And Dave, we kind of teed up talking a little bit about the South American crop on the soybean side of things, but let's talk about corn and the Brazilian corn crop, the second crop corn. How much of that is not going to get planted because of some of the drought concerns that we've had in some of those areas, and just the fact that, you know, there's some of that corn that may be too late to plant?
Yeah, Michelle, I mean, it's kind of an interesting question. I mean, we thought early in the year that the numbers may be a little bit worse. And when we look at what's going on right now, I think, you know, what we're hearing from the farmers on the ground in Brazil is that they're actually going to maybe roll the dice on a little bit more Safrinha corn than they intended to early. And I think that comes out of a reflection of what, at least to date, have been in the early part of harvest, some disappointing bean yields, some beans that are coming off a little bit early in terms of maturity because of hot and dry weather and conditions, and a little bit of drought during their growing season. Now, it's a complicated question because the amount of money that they're willing to spend in terms of seed and technology and inputs to maximize those corn yields is probably not, you know, going to be on the high side.
True.
So we're, you know, you're in a situation here where it's very complicated. The profitability on corn is not real, you know, real spiffy at the moment. But when you step back and look at it, and if for, you know, someone who's listening who maybe doesn't look at that every day, you know, more than 80% of Brazil's overall corn production comes from that Safrinha corn crop, or that crop that's planted as a second crop behind a full season soybean. So that planting is getting started right now. It'll go for the next, you know, 30, 40 days. And, you know, trying to beat, as you indicated, the dry season, which starts, you know, basically in May and June. And so, you know, we don't know a lot about what the season itself and the weather will bring. I think the acreage, you know, over under is probably maybe something on the order of, you know, a 5% or more decrease from where we were at last year, plus or minus. But I think it's going to be a game time decision for a lot of these producers as they pull the beans off. I think we're going to creep in a few more corn acres than what was originally anticipated, but certainly overall production in Brazil is going to be down year over year because of that acreage decline, regardless of what happens on the yield side of the equation.
Yeah, it's not going to be a record crop like it was last year anyways, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any kind of path towards that. I mean, they produced a crop of 137 million metric tons last year, easily a record for them. The USDA originally had them plugged in at, I think, at 129. They've dropped to 127. We're probably in that, you know, sub 120 range right now. But even with that, I mean, it goes back to a similar situation that we talked about in the soybeans. When you look at, you know, where that Argentine crop is expected to be anyway at this particular point in that, we'll call it 55 to 58 range, you're still looking at combined corn production between Brazil and Argentina that's going to produce a record supply. Now, the Safrinha crop and how the Argentinian crop ends are going to have something to say about that. And we don't feel as confident on that as we do on the bean numbers just because of where we're at in the crop cycle.
But if they are down from last year, does that allow the U.S. to have a little opportunity to pick up some of those exports?
Potentially. I mean, there's a timing issue there. There's an issue there. I think even if the U.S. is the cheapest, you know, FOB offer out there, we still have issues with freight and what's going on at the Panama Canal. That's an issue that we could probably devote a whole show to, but it's not going away anytime soon in terms of this low water and high freight rates. So that's hurting our chances. I think the other issue is China. It goes back to the China situation again. When you look at our export scenario on corn, as far as what we've sold year to date or shipped year to date from the U.S., our traditional export partners in Japan, Mexico, South Korea, Colombia have taken it, you know, again, a large amount of corn, a large additional amount of corn this year versus what they took the previous year. But where we find the hole is that China's had a good corn crop. At least that's what they're telling us. And, you know, their demand seems to be a little bit muted on the corn side right now. And very possible that they may come to the U.S. for some corn, I think, later in the year. But I think they're going to be very price conscious and buy what they feel is value. And whether that value was this 450 level that we hit, whether it's 425, whether it's $4 in their mind, I think that's a little bit more of a debate.
At this point, especially when you look at the corn market and a 2.16 billion bushel carryout, is South America's crop or China demand picking up the only way that we're going to rally this corn market in your mind?
Well, I think that's got to be the part of it. I mean, we obviously have a big fund short in the corn complex. I mean, we have a short starting the week here, at about 272,000 contracts, record shorts around 345,000. So they're pushing the envelope on that side of the fence, and that spark could come from any kind of money flow issue, whether it be a Fed decision, whether it be a geopolitical event, or, you know, we've got these wars going on and different things. So, I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be that. The easiest way for that to happen is certainly with that demand, you know, coming in and taking up the slack a little bit here. If not, when we look at what's happening going into 2024, you've got, you know, a burdensome carryout this year that looks to grow next year. And most analysts right now are taking anywhere between, let's say, 1.5 and 3.5 million acres off of the corn balance sheet and spreading that mostly into soybeans. But using a USDA trend yield at 181, which I could argue is a little bit high, even if we adjust that a little bit lower, we're still looking at a, you know, a year-over-year carryout increase or ending stocks increase in that 400 to 600 million bushel range. And so looking for an additional 400 to 600 million, let's say, bushels of demand on that 24 balance sheet or 24-25 balance sheet to kind of keep us even at the level that we're at this year, Michelle, going to be a pretty big lift. And
yeah,
so the, you know, the writing's on the wall there. It's a defensive marketing, you know, environment for producers here at the moment, especially when we look at what's going on for 2024.
Yeah. How much old crop corn and soybeans are left to be sold, do you think?
Yeah, it depends on who you talk to. It's an interesting question. We've been looking at it a lot. We actually went down and drilled through our own marketing customers. So our clients who, you know, pay us for, you know, for marketing service, and we do that. They were 57% sold on 2023 corn, 13% sold on 2024 corn. So that corn number's actually come up a little bit from where it stood before the first of the year. It was closer to 38 or 39%. So there's been a few stales that have snuck in here, but, you know, beans were at 67% on the 23 crop and about 8% is what we see on 2024. Now, that's not necessarily what our recommendations were. That's where we find our actual client base. And, you know, it's a broad average. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But there's certainly an anxiety level here at the producer level that they feel undermarketed. And, you know, who wouldn't, based on the price action that we've seen? And unless you've sold your entire crop or 90% of it, et cetera, you're going to feel like, hey, I'm behind the boat. And I think that question is not only an old crop question, but is increasingly a new crop question here as we look at these values and what producers feel their break evens are.
Yeah, let's talk about those break evens. How much different do they look? And I guess right now, and what is that going to mean for this acreage mix this next year?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the input values are down more so on the corn side than the soybean side. That has a lot to do with nitrogen. And, you know, in our part of the world, Michelle, I mean, we had a very good fall for application and field work in the fall. And so a lot of gas went on, you know, last fall that those acres are kind of locked up. But there are still definitely some acres in play here. And you get outside of the core of the Midwest and you can argue that things can change and where we're at. I think when farmers, you know, initially were making some decisions, you know, let's say last fall and deciding what to do, you know, that corn bean ratio was certainly a little bit more favorable towards the soybeans. Now we're in a little bit more of a very neutral situation. Now we're back maybe leaning just a little bit on soybeans. But I think the financing side also has something to do with that and where these operating notes are and what the bankers are saying. You know, farmers are, in general, I'll say, pretty well capitalized after a good run in 2020, 2021, and 22, a little bit less so in 23. But 24 looks like a challenge on paper. I think the lenders are aware of that. That's going to force a few more acres into beans. So the over-under right now maybe in that 2 to 2.5 million acre, I think, swing level from soybeans or from the corn into the soybeans here this year. And of course, the wheat acres are in play, the cotton acres are in play, you know, sorghum and some of the smaller crops are certainly out there as well. The prevent plant issue is, you know, it always can be an issue here once we get going in the spring. So those are some of the things that we talked about earlier that the market is going to have to start talking about and kind of dealing with and putting a risk factor against as we get a little bit closer to planting time here in the U.S. this spring.
Absolutely. If you look at trendline yield with, you know, even 2 million less acres of corn, you're still looking at a big ending stocks number, I'm sure. So,
yeah. And I mean, you know, it doesn't look good on paper. Now it's always going to change. We know that this early in the process, these, but an analyst long enough to know that you're wrong a lot of times on those long end, you know, operations, but that's just part of where we're at. We have to make decisions today based on what we do know. And we look forward, you know, that ending stocks and stocks to use ratio are typically your best guide as a producer of where prices are pointing. And right now, you know, both of those would lean a little bit in the bearish category.
Absolutely. And crop insurance prices set in February, those are going to look a lot different than 23 as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you looked at the prices last year in 2023. The spring prices were better than the fall, but the spring price was $5.91 in corn, $13.76 in beans, and definitely going to be a different, you know, a different year this year in terms of what those guarantees offer. I think there's also a play there with producers who've used the SCO and some of the county products with the ARC-PLC changes and what's happening there, and the reference price, you know, change versus the ARC and the adjustment on the Olympic average. That ARC is all of a sudden looking like a better product for a lot of producers in terms of just it's a free product, and it, you know, it pays on base acres. It's a little bit different animal and a different creature, but it's a decision that a lot of producers are going to have to deal with here. We've got the FSA decision for your ARC-PLC is also March 15th, right along with your crop insurance deadline. And so, you know, I'm sure people will be talking to their agents as we go forward. And, you know, we have a good number of guys in our area that did do margin protection last fall for the 2024 crop that I think are very glad they did it. Those numbers were 509 on corn and 1293, excuse me, on soybeans. So, you know, going to be a different kind of a year in terms of the ability to take risk off the table with those crop insurance products.
Just quick, are you making any new crop sales yet?
We have been. I've been a little bit reluctant to do them on the way down here, but certainly if we see these corn back above 5, no beans, you know, moving in towards 13, we're back in the game.
All right. Stick with us. Steve Chatterton with Strategic Farm Marketing. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about livestock.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text HOT to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text HOT to 321-321. That's HOT to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Hi, my name is Alani. A little thing I like about the Spicy Deluxe sandwich is that you taste the crunch, you taste the pepper jack cheese melting, and you taste the spicy flavors in the sandwich. I'm telling you, 10 out of 10.
Hi, my name's Enrique. A little thing I love about Chick-fil-A's Spicy Deluxe sandwich is you get that rich flavor of the chicken and definitely that nice, tangy, warm bite. It's the perfect harmony of spiciness and taste.
Order the Spicy Deluxe sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Discover, this is Daniela.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just want to thank you for making me feel so special. I earned cash back on debit for my dinner party groceries.
That's great, but with Discover Cashback Debit, we give everyone cash back on everyday purchases. Anything else I can help you with?
Do you like asparagus and mushroom sorbet? I've got leftovers.
Introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a checking account with cash back. It pays to Discover. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, the only weekend television show that features some of agriculture's biggest names. From custom commentary from John Phipps to the stories of antique iron with Machinery Pete to a list of more than 30 marketing analysts, our weekly program focuses on the topics that matter most to you. We invite you to join us each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors. No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook, and we've been visiting with Dave Chatterton with Strategic Farm Marketing. And I want to talk a little bit about livestock here, but I had one question I wanted to talk about with corn. In terms of price action today, you know, 0.75 cents higher in the March corn futures. And, you know, we just seem to be kind of moving in a sideways pattern here the last few days after we put the reversals in last Thursday, Dave.
Yeah, Michelle, we haven't had a lot of luck, you know, with any traction below that 440 level, but we're also, you know, on the top side, not having much luck with traction above that 446 or into that 450 area. And, you know, today was another day of that. It looks like we have a little hope early in the day, and then we kind of, by the end of the day, do that. And, you know, technically, when you go back and look at this market, I mean, we had been in a, you know, kind of a downward sloping channel going all the way back to last August. And unfortunately, you know, we had prices last summer or even last fall that were in that 520 range, and we dropped all the way down to 437 here. So as you said, we reversed off of that. Last week, we've been adding a little bit, you know, to that, but it's come awfully slow here. And I think that has to do with the weight, you know, or the relative, I guess I'll say, excess capacity of the U.S. balance sheet in corn and those carryout stocks that we talked about that were north of 2 billion bushels. And funds are heavily short, but there's also a lot of room for error. And, you know, going into next year, it looks like there'll be even more room. So getting those shorts, you know, incentivized to cover the positions and move out, you know, seems to be a little bit of a lift right now. Now, if soybeans continue to go, certainly it's a different situation. But right now, it's the little train that could that's trying to struggle to get up the hill, and so far not getting a lot of altitude.
Yeah, that's a really good description. Cattle, nice update. You know, was that funds coming back into the market to buy, or do you think we're pushing this market here with box beef values, which have rallied back over the $300 mark in the choice?
Yeah, I think we've got a better fundamental situation than what was expected, and that's getting the attention of the funds via the charts and the action that we had today, kind of nudging at a new high here. And I think the expectation coming off the cattle on feed report and looking at, you know, kind of going through the holidays and then the weather that we suffered through or are still maybe coming off the back end of was that, you know, chain speeds and slaughter rates were going to pick up, that weights were going to start increasing again, that production was going to continue to kind of weigh on this front end that hasn't been the most current, you know, situation that we've had. Instead, we've had, you know, and I think the idea early in the week was, you know, hey, that's going to be the end of this rally in the box beef market. Instead, the box beef market, it continues to rally. And as you said, midday, I mean, we're out here above $300 and, you know, up another $2 and some change. We'll see how the final close comes in. But certainly it's a market that all of a sudden technically is starting to perform. And that fund length in the market, and, you know, at the beginning of the week anyway, we had the funds long 13,000 contracts in the cattle, very kind of neutral position. And certainly wedged down from that, you know, 80,000 contract long that we had, you know, late last summer. So some room there to perform. And I think technically the market, when you look at, you know, go back and look at the reversal off the low that we had, we talked about it in corn, but in cattle, you go back in April cattle, I mean, bottomed on the 7th of December, had a very nice sharp rally the next day, 2 days after that, you know, continued to rally and confirmed that bottom. And we've seen some technical uptake since that point. Yeah. So despite what's been some hesitancy, I think on the fundamental side, demand looks durable, and these packers all of a sudden look like they're in the black again, and maybe going to be out here for some cattle.
So I think we've gotten above 38% retracement levels. I don't know that we've gotten to 50% retracements. Are we getting close? Do you think we'll get to that level?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think you have to question what the ability is on the upside here. Maybe, you know, kind of what the potential is maybe the way to say that, just based on, you know, the amount of cattle that we're going to have to chew through here in the near term. Now, I mean, if you want to talk about where the placements total took us and what that means maybe for the second half of the year, hey, you know, no problem in doing so. And I think you can do that. But in the meantime, it's a little bit of a big ask. I think you can have some money flow and money movement in here, Michelle, but I don't know where you're going to get it. Depending on how you want to measure your retracements, if you take it all the way back to, you know, where we were last fall and, you know, up towards that $200 mark, to get a 50% retracement, I mean, you're talking about getting this market to about almost just 183. And, you know, we've got a good premium in the April versus the Feb, but, you know, I won't rule it out, but I would say that we're going to have some fits and starts along the way, and maybe kind of a two steps forward, one step back type of a process in doing so.
We'll see if we get a big push here after the cattle inventory report. What about the hogs? Do you think we had a chart breakout here today?
Yeah, I do. I mean, pretty impressive action there. And again, when you look at that April contract, which is the most heavily traded right now, a breakout to a new high, that's the highest level that we've had, really going back to, you know, mid or maybe, you know, right around that middle part of November. And in doing so, I mean, you know, we confirmed a bottom here a few weeks ago, again, very similar to what we just talked about in the cattle, only more recently, but a strong update after a bottom, some follow through to that and kind of confirming that bottom to a degree. And we had a little bit of consolidation after that. When you look at what happened over the last really week and a half, we got into a little bit of a pennant situation where we had a strong move up and then a little bit of a flag off of that. We broke out above that flag today and have a higher measurement really in terms of the technicals in the marketplace. The funds coming into the week really short about 2,000 contracts are basically neutral this market, which is a little unusual this time of year. And,
right.
You know, I think this is a good sign. If you're a technician, this is a breakout. This is a market that wants to go higher. And,
right.
You know, I sometimes the fundamentals don't fit or they don't fit right away. And I would say we're in that situation, but, you know, money flow and price action rules here, and that action is pointing higher here at the moment.
Well, let's hope we can keep it going. It's been a tough year for the pork producers. Dave, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
No, thank you, Michelle. It's been fun. And thank you.
Dave Chatterton with Strategic Farm Marketing. And Davis, tomorrow we are going to have Arlen Suderman with StoneX and Darren Fry with Water Street Solutions joining us to talk a little bit about markets. What do you got going on tomorrow for AgriTalk AM?
Tomorrow morning, we're going to speak with Ernie Goss, and then we've got a couple. Well, I saw one guest confirmed. I think we're still waiting on the second guest to confirm.
Got them both.
If I can,
got them both.
Huh?
Got them
you
both.
Got them both.
Got
you
them
got
both.
Them both.
All right.
We got Ben Rentschcheap and Ted the Hammer coming up on tomorrow morning's Farmer Forum. By the way, the 6 to 10 day and the 11 to 14 day outlooks, pretty simple. Hot. All right, the 6 to 10 day, everybody's hot, above normal temperatures except for the very southeast. About a, you know, three-way split on the precip on the 6 to 10 day. We get hotter further eastward, and more precipitation comes in the 8 to 14 day. Michelle.
Well, thanks for doing the two-step with me today, Davis. I appreciate
it. Absolutely. You got to dance with who brung you. You know, that's what
I
always
no
say.
Doubt. All right, well, it's been fun. Again, Davis Michelson joining us, our handsome newsman. Thanks to Joe Stackler and for Chip Flory. I'm Michelle Rook here. Thanks for joining us for AgriTalk.
Space, the final frontier, where we are limited only by our imagination. Join us in Houston for Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event. New Frontiers in Agriculture, February 28th through March 2nd, 2024. Houston, We have no problem. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the...
My daughter is normally a little goofball. But after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit-forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
I'm a dinosaur.
Best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids, for ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure,